You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm. You can call us up with Browns questions, Cavs comments. Let us know what you think is going to happen today. 216-578-0850. But we'll go through the rookies, the 14 draft picks of the Cleveland Browns, and give kind of our thoughts on them. Let's start in the first round here, Matt Wilhelm. Wide receiver Corey Coleman.
Very impressive. And to me, enters the offseason prior to training camp as our number one wide receiver. And I would expect to get a lot of targets in this offense. And has the opportunity to prove his physicality, to prove his playmaking ability, both to this fan base, you know, via training camp and those preseason games, to then open the season as the playmaker for all the skeptics out there to be reassured that there's a playmaker on this football team. Because that is the one thing that so many people call into question. You know, who's going to score those touchdowns? Well, you heard when Hugh Jackson and Sashi Brown put their heads together and drafted this young man. He scores touchdowns. And I think he will be a difference maker. And I love the fact that he's growing in the diversity of his route tree throughout this offseason with his work with Al Saunders.
He's a guy that has, when people ask me who has impressed you the most, there's no doubt in my mind that the answer to that question is Corey Coleman. Corey Coleman has come in here, and all he has done is on a daily basis go through and make plays. He's a guy that has been incredibly impressive to me. He's a guy that you can't help but notice him constantly when he is out there. He's a guy that has had the ability to come in, blend in, and really look the part, look exactly like you want your top pick to look. And I think that's what's exciting. This guy has come out and he's made plays every single day. He has found a way to be a difference maker for this team, like I said, on a daily basis. And there isn't a single day that goes by that he doesn't make a play. And he's showing you his ability to get vertical. He's showing you his ability to have his route tree diversify. He talked with us about the fact that he never ran the deep comeback. Well, all I watch in practice is him running the deep comeback and turning people around like they're on tops, because he has the vertical speed that scares them, and then he can stop on a dime and turn around and come back. And I think that's one of the things that has been most exciting for me. I think Corey Coleman, when you look at everything that's happened so far, he has been the one guy that has stood out to me and made me think, oh my, we are in great shape with this pick. This is a guy who is ready to come in here and play at a high level and deliver quickly and immediately for the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, and I think even furthermore, in years past, people have been asking us to draft a playmaking wide receiver. And up to this point, you can say that Corey Coleman hasn't disappointed. He's getting the most targets. He's diversifying his route tree. I think from this point forward, it's continuing to understand the NFL game. And not only what his job is, and I've talked about that levels of, okay, my job is X. Our team's job, the guys around me are doing X. Now what's the defense trying to do to us? And yep, that full understanding, you know, as he continues to grow, and then it becomes the refinement of his game. You know, refining what he does to give our D3. Because we could talk about accuracy all we want, and the one person that's, you know, we've linked to accuracy is Cody Kessler, but he's not going to see the field, at least hopefully not this season. So if Corey Coleman can create more separation because of as explosive as he is and refining his game, that makes him a much bigger target for a small guy for either Josh McCown or RG3.
Correct. And he's a guy who plays clearly bigger than his size so far, which I think has been the one thing that's been the most exciting to see when it comes to Corey Coleman. I think day one starter, day one number one receiver for the Cleveland Browns in 2016.
Over 100 targets?
Yeah, in this offense is the number one. Yes.
Okay.
I think he is the guy that is going to be featured, and you're seeing, you know, they were doing a lot of drills on Wednesday and Thursday that were move the ball, 2 minute, third down. The go-to guy.
And
that's when
not, and those aren't scripted scenarios. Those are scripted scenarios in a football game, but it's not scripted to where the football goes, you know, as a decision maker for RG3 or Josh McCown. And to your point, I'm sorry for interrupting, but the ball ended up in his hands in those live game-like situations more often than not.
Yes, and that was my point, is that that was the guy when the chips were down that they wanted to go ahead and get a play and have a play be made. The guy that they were looking for was Corey Coleman, and I think that's something that's very exciting for Browns fans and something that I certainly was excited about and very pleased with to see that happen. So let's go now to the number two pick here for the team, and obviously that is Emmanuel Ogba, the pass rusher, making that transition from 4-3 D end to, you know, a 3-4 outside linebacker, somebody who's not always going to have his hand on the ground. What did you see in his development?
A lot of what we thought for why he was drafted: big, physical, explosive, and then here comes the grain of salt. Well, how much can you really tell with them not in pads? And I think there's probably, you know, a warm, fuzzy feeling about Hugh Jackson, both for Corey Coleman and Emmanuel Ogba, to see, can they continue to do what we saw them do in shorts with pads on? Because if you've listened to anything Hugh Jackson has said, is it's not football yet. You know, just wait till it's football. And we heard about those opportunities to bang and the siren that will go off for those anything goes periods. And I think explosive athletes like Corey Coleman, like a big physical athlete like Emmanuel Ogba, will thrive in those anything goes scenarios. So he is a guy that has raised eyebrows because of how fast he is, how yep. big he is.
Yep.
Let's see him play football. So I'm not saying the jury's out. He has lived up to what we thought he would be, but you have to take it with that grain of salt that I talked about because we're just in shorts.
That is right. But
so what would be a sack and what wouldn't is my case.
And you don't know. He hasn't stood out to me in the way that Corey Coleman has stood out to me thus far.
And, but, he can't.
And he can't.
Can't.
But you see sometimes, I watched a couple of plays this past week where he dropped, and I was like saying to myself, my goodness, this guy can – what can't this guy do out there on the field from an athletic standpoint? And I'm very, very impressed so far by what I have seen from Emmanuel Ogba. I think that he will be a day one rotation player for the Cleveland Browns. Not necessarily a day one starter, but definitely a day one rotation player for the Cleveland Browns, and I'm excited to see what he can do when he is given an opportunity. All right, let's go into the third round now. The Browns with three picks in the third round. We'll start with Carl Nassib, a guy that unfortunately, due to injury, we have not gotten to see as much from.
Yeah, and I think has a lot to prove, and I think the opportunity for him to contribute is there, but he has to prove that. He has to be healthy. I think he we talked about, you know, his frame can easily put on 5 to 10 pounds if he can be as explosive as he was at defensive end, you know, playing a little bit more of an internal specialty type of role in year one. And I'll go back and I'll talk about this entire class. Everyone, and I know everyone feels the cupboards are bare here in Cleveland,
yep.
but your expectations of every rookie playing a lot of football, that doesn't happen in the NFL. It just doesn't. You know, guys have to learn the speed of the game. The only way that you can do that is when the bullets are actually flying. So some of it is by trial and error. Like, we got to see Justin Gilbert early in 2014. We learned that he wasn't ready, so you get him off the field. And I think, you know, Nassib might be one of those guys. At the outset, you expect big things from him because of where he was drafted,
right.
but he may not be ready because there are, and it's something that I learned, there's bats in that cave. You know what I mean? You just can't poke your head in there because there are big boy grown men, you know, with families and a livelihood that throw people around for a living in there. And you're talking about a guy that's used to playing on the edge, now playing down in the man's world. And I think that's
yes.
something that, I'm not discounting that he can't do it. I'm not saying he can't. It's something that he's going to have to learn. He has to get healthy. He has to be ready to be physical. And then he can use his athleticism as a counter to that physical.
Yeah, and we'll see. Again, this is a guy that will benefit from the pads coming on to really understand where he's at and his ability to rush the passer. But he was very productive in college. And I think right now, if you were slotting him, projects to me to probably being a situational pass rusher in his rookie year, not an every down player, because he plays more of the position that Desmond Bryant plays. And I think
you got to take him off the field.
You're looking at him as right. Somebody that you're grooming to be the heir apparent to Desmond Bryant. And if he can do that, obviously, I think you're going to be pretty happy from a Cleveland Browns standpoint. If he can be the guy that does that and is that heir apparent for him, I think that people will be actually more than thrilled with that going forward. All right, also in the third round, Cody Kessler, Sean Coleman. We'll start with Sean Coleman. Haven't gotten to see him yet. He's kind of, in my mind, he's a little bit behind because he has not had the opportunity to compete yet and is behind, I think, Alvin Bailey and even Spencer Drango right now at that spot.
Yeah. I loved the pick. I loved the both short and long-term return on investment you can get out of a guy like Sean Coleman. With that short term is him immediately coming in and potentially earning that starting spot by being a competitor and winning that outright, and we haven't seen that because of that injury. The long term is he very well could be, you know, the starter at some point this season or next season at that position and lock up that right side. So the jury is still out on him.
Yes, he certainly could. And then that brings us to, obviously, Cody Kessler, who we've gotten a lot of work. And if you saw practices this week, it really was pretty much the only quarterbacks really getting reps were RG3, Josh McCown, and Cody Kessler. There were a few here and there for a guy like Austin Davis. But Cody Kessler is getting a lot of opportunity to impress his coaching staff and certainly to impress his teammates. My question is, though, has he impressed you, Matt Wilhelm?
No. Honestly, it's what I expect. It's what I expect from him. You know, being a third round pick, a little bit higher than a lot of people thought he would be, and I think Hugh Jackson may not be, you know, unhappy with where he's at. But I just think, you know, he's not getting a lot of reps. But this is a very diverse, you know, tricky system that Hugh Jackson's putting in. And we heard it from the defensive guys. We heard it from the offensive guys. A lot of formations, a lot of different routes, a lot of shifts, a lot of motions, a lot of confusion. And sometimes, and this is that, you know, the cliche, guys can be swimming. And I think that, you know, a guy like Cody Kessler is swimming because of how much content there really is. And he must come in and not only be, you know, execute that, but he's got to be the leader, the voice of that huddle, get the snap off, so on and so forth. It's just a lot going on for him right now. And I think these extra couple days here in Berea and then coming back, you know, for that, you know, reporting early, him getting a lot of reps and repetition in this system will only help him.
I think it will. So here's kind of my assessment so far from what I've seen here from Cody Kessler. I've seen some throws where you see that accuracy that they talk about, where the ball is just exactly where it needs to be, leads to yak, fits it into tight windows. I've also seen some pretty errant throws where it looks like he might be a little bit uncomfortable in the pocket and just wants to get the ball out. I also have seen balls that, in my opinion, have been in the air a little bit too long, that just seemed a little bit too much arc on them, not necessarily the velocity that I'm looking for.
And I saw that same thing from Cody Kessler at the Senior Bowl. You know, when that's when Carson Wentz really rose up everybody's.
Sure.
One of the other quarterbacks there, you know, that was taking reps or getting the live coverage along with Carson Wentz was Cody Kessler. And I saw he airmailed some balls once in a while and threw it up there like a balloon. You can't do that in this league because those DBs are as big as wide receivers now. They go up and get it too.
Yeah, they go up, they get the ball. And if you are Cody Kessler, I think that's something. Overthrown balls in the middle of the field in the National Football League are interceptions. And so you can't have that. So that's something that I think he needs to work on. And also just continuing to improve his mechanics so that he can improve his arm strength. And I'm sure that that's something he's going to be working on with Tom House this summer, and is finding a way to go ahead and improve on that aspect of his game. All right, when we come back, we will continue this. We'll get into the fourth round picks of the Cleveland Browns, fifth round and beyond, as we look at this team and give you an idea of where these rookies are headed into 2016 season. At the bottom of this hour, we'll hear from Louis Chofi, the Browns defensive back coach, who I think is going to be presiding over some of the biggest position battles on this entire roster, and some of the toughest decisions for Sashi Brown and company at the end of the day will come in the cornerback at safety positions in terms of who starts and who ultimately makes this team. We'll hear from him at 2:30 when we return with more CBD.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm with you here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. We've gone through what we've seen, our offseason impressions of the Browns picks from the first three rounds. Let's go into round number four now. Matt, we'll start with the guy at the top of round number four who I think has had one of the more impressive offseasons, and that's Joe Schobert, the linebacker from Wisconsin.
Yeah, a very diverse guy, and that's something that we knew coming out of the draft. Having played in that 3-4 scheme both inside and outside, he's done that same thing here in Cleveland, being used, standing up as an inside guy, lining up outside as a pass rusher. But moving forward, I think he also is, in year one, or at least in the onset of this season, a specialty type of player. There's going to be certain packages that you like his diversity over other guys. You know, maybe Kirksey comes out, Schobert comes in. DeMario Davis comes out, Schobert comes in. Where it's, you know, predominantly pass, you might like him, you know, running that X stun inside or bringing a, you know, double rush off the edge with, you know, Kruger or Ogbah, you know, going down and around in some stunt and Schobert then coming off the edge where he's very comfortable. But balls are being tipped. They're ending up in Schobert's hand. So he's a very productive guy. He's a stat-filling linebacker. The reason why I say it's not to discount his ability, it's to say he's a specialty player. I just feel like you got to take guys that you have penciled in or penned in as starters, like Kirksey and Davis, off the field to get a guy like him playing time.
Yeah, and we've kind of seen him, as you said, versatile, can be inside, can be outside. He's shown to me the ability to drop effectively. He's recorded a couple interceptions already, gotten in throwing lane, seems to have a good feel for doing so. He's a guy that is a very good special teams player, and I think that he is someone that will be a contributor and maybe some sub packages. You could bring him in as a blitzing linebacker. We know that they like to blitz their inside backers, so he could be a guy that maybe in some pass rushing sub packages can come in and get to the quarterback. And if not, you know, he's certainly going to make an impact on special teams. The Browns' second pick of the fourth round was Ricardo Lewis, the wide receiver from Auburn, who seems right now to be somebody that people don't talk as much about, haven't, you know, really heard as much about. Corey Coleman had some nice things to say about him, and just being out of practice, some of the other people have been, you know, certainly encouraging with Ricardo Lewis. But what have you seen so far?
A freak athlete. And I hate to say it, but to go back to our draft coverage, that's what we learned very quickly about him. You referenced his spark score. I mean, he looks the part. And I just think, to go back, he's the rawest of the four wide receivers. And I think you can see that. He'll make the flash play. But then it's not so much the concentration drop, but then you'll see the rawness of his route running and how it's still just a real much of a progress for him. So if I had to pick what I expect of him, he would be my younger version of Marlon Moore. And I think if I had to, you know, yep. I think Ricardo Lewis and Marlon Moore are competing for a job, which is limited targets in the offense. Maybe not even in the beginning of the season, but towards, you know, when depth and things of that sort and rotations become an issue and the stalwart on the special teams. I don't think there's not enough room on this roster with young talent to say this guy's just going to be a specialty player on special teams. It's you got to have value. You know, you got to be one play away on offense and a killer on special teams to make this football team.
I think Lewis has, as we've said all along, the most upside in terms of an athletic profile at the wide receivers that were drafted, with his size, with his speed. He's worked on his hands, and I have not seen him drop the ball here. So that has been certainly very, very good to see, because that was kind of the knock on him, inconsistent hands. He hasn't shown that. He's learning how to run NFL routes. I think that's a work in progress, but he's a guy that I think will make an impact on special teams. He will make this team and has an opportunity to come in, I think, in some sub packages and be a take the top off the defensive guy early with his vertical speed, but he needs to continue to refine, and I think he's someone that's looked at as a little bit of a project that will have the time to develop here in Cleveland.
Yeah, absolutely, and there's nothing wrong with that. And there's going to be, you figure, with 14 draft picks, all of them aren't going to start, and all of them aren't going to be immediate contributors. So you figure Cody Kessler was another guy, third-round pick, who's a project. Ricardo Lewis is our fourth-round project. You can probably say the same moving forward, who's going to be a project. And that doesn't necessarily mean that they're not going to play, and that also doesn't mean that they're not going to make this team or be on the practice squad. There's a place for them. It's just not contributing immediately.
Agreed. And that's still an okay thing because you're turning over the roster and you're getting guys in position to be successful going forward. Also taken in the fourth round, Derek Kindred, the safety from TCU. Your initial thoughts on Kindred?
I think he is, so far I've seen splash plays that I like of him throughout OTAs and the minicamp this past or last week. But then I think there's times where you forget that he's out there, you know. And maybe it's just because he's doing his job, and that's no knock against him. But I think that he's got his work cut out for him and to prove to this team that he deserves to be one of the probably four safeties that are going to make this team. You know, Poyer, Campbell, Moore, and is it going to be Kindred, or is it going to be somewhere else if there's no place for Pierre Desir to have him as like a 50-50 corner-slash-safety guy, and how much he can develop as a safety throughout training camp if that's where he's going to get his look.
Yeah, it seems to me this is a guy that was brought in to push Ibrahim Campbell for that starting strong safety job. He definitely has flash, looks the part, very physical looking safety, certainly well built, faster than what I thought he would be, and he's impressed me. I think he's a guy that will make some special teams contributions, and he'll push Campbell. I mean, Campbell's not a sure thing. He was a fourth round pick last year, so that's something that we'll certainly watch when they put the pads on, which is where I think Kindred will excel. Given his physical nature, he's a guy who played through a broken collarbone. So I think Kindred's got an opportunity to really kind of excel when the pads come on. All right, last pick of the fourth round, pick number 138, was Seth DeValve, the hybrid tight end from Princeton. Certainly has flashed, but his big question will be, A, can he be on the field enough?
Correct.
Can he stay healthy? B, where does he fit in these sub-packages? Because the one guy that took advantage this week with Gary Barnage out, was E.J. Bibbs.
Yes.
Made some great catches, ran some great routes.
Absolutely, and I think there's knowing the diversity and the creativity of Hugh Jackson's offense, that if you can prove to him that you can get open and catch the football and then take advantage of your athleticism with the football in your hands after the catch, Hugh Jackson will script up opportunities and ways to get you the football. And I think that's why, you know, more and more people are building steam for a guy like Terrell Pryor. He's looking and feeling like a wide receiver, and he can throw it. And when you get the ball in his hands, he's very dynamic. So Hugh Jackson will use that as a strength of this offense, not just, you know, here and there. And I think DeValve is a guy that, as you said, he's flashing here and there, but it needs to be consistent. Because the one thing that I know is, and I'm growing in the favor of maybe not Barnage hitting the numbers he had last year, but Barnage is going to have a very good year, and that's banking on the creativity of this offense and diversity of this offense, but also going back to last year and what Tyler Eifert did. When there were weapons around him that were also threats, what a big, you know, explosive athlete can do in the middle of a defense is demoralizing.
Yep.
So Barnage can be that. We saw that. DeValve can kind of be the same, but maybe not from an attached position. He's going to be that 3-yard flex, you know, that 6-yard flex to create a little bit more space, use his size against the little guy and his speed against the bigger guy.
He is definitely going to be detached, and he's going to be a mismatch player who could have a specialty role in this offense as early as this year. All right, we'll take a break. We'll continue with the rookies maybe on tomorrow's show because we still have a lot to get through here as the Browns drafted 14 of them. We'll get into those fifth round picks, et cetera, and more going forward. And we'll, when we come back, though, you talked about the secondary. We just talked about Derek Kindred. Let's hear from Louis Chofi on the secondary, where I think there's some serious battles, a lot of depth at corner for who's going to make this team and obviously what's going to end up happening at the safety spot. It looks like Poyer and Campbell are the leaders in the clubhouse, but they are being pushed by Raheem Moore and Derek Kindred. Louis Chofi, the Browns defensive back coach, next on CBD.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm. And now let's hear from, as we talked about, one of the most intense position battles on this team are going to come in the defensive backfield. There's a lot of talent there, and it'll be interesting to see who can make this final 53. Let's hear how defensive backs coach Louis Chofi feels about the position right now.
So you're glad to be back?
I'm extremely excited to be back. I feel like it's an unfinished business. This is a wonderful organization. The fans here are tremendous, loyal. You don't really get to appreciate that when you're here, but then when you're on other teams and you play the Browns and your stadium is half full with Brown fans, you realize what an awesome deal it is here and the support that the city gives the team and the players.
When you look at the secondary you inherited, with Joe being hurt, a couple of new guys, does it feel kind of, I don't know, unsettled is the right word, but maybe uncertain of how it's going to look when you get to week one?
No, I'm excited about this group. I think it's a very young group with a veteran and two veterans, really. But there's a lot of opportunity for guys to both at the nickel position and the corner position. And you can never have enough corners in this league. This is a passing league. So the more guys we have that can compete and be ready to play for us, the better off we'll be in the long run.
Coach, with the two safeties, neither one has been a full-time starter in this league. What level of confidence do you have in Campbell and Poyer at this point?
Actually, I have confidence in both of them. I was fortunate enough to coach Campbell at the Senior Bowl when he was a rookie, so we have some history together. And then I've also been around Poyer, my last stop here. So they've both been in our system before. They've done everything that we've asked up to this point, and I think it's going to be a very good competition moving into camp.
Joe Hayden, obviously, you had some familiarity with him from your previous tour here.
Mm-hmm.
He only played 5 games last year, and then the off-season ankle surgery. How is he from a mentality standpoint right now? And do you see signs that a good bounce back is on the horizon for him?
When I got hired here, the first person I talked to was obviously Coach Jackson. The second text I got was from Joe. He was extremely excited that we're back together. I expect him to be back in the Pro Bowl. He's that kind of player. We're going to do everything we can to get him back to that status, and I think he's going to help us win a lot of football games. He's been awesome. He's been rehabbing like crazy. He's been great in the meeting rooms, and I think he'll be ready to go when the season starts.
With Justin Gilbert, what did you know about him before you got here, and then what has he shown you since you got here?
Well, before I got here, we obviously did studies on him, and we had him on our front board, and he was a very high first-round pick, very talented athlete, and we discussed possibly taking him. So everything I know about him was good. And same thing here. When I first got here, we sat down, we mapped out a plan. He has goals, I have goals, and what we're going to do is we're going to do everything we can in our power to get him to reach his goals. He's been tremendous. He's done everything we've asked. He's been attentive in meetings. He's been very productive out on the field. He's been amenable to the techniques we've asked him to play, and he's been successful in that area. So hopefully that'll continue, and I don't see any reason why he can't be a very good corner in this league.
I know Coach Jackson's talked about everybody having a clean slate, especially Justin. When you're coaching a guy, is it tough to get that completely out of your head, maybe some of the stuff that you heard about his first 2 years?
No, because I always approach that every time you go into a situation that everyone starts on the same page. Right now in the DB room we have 19 players. It's 19 different personalities. My goal as a coach is to get the very most out of those players and to get them to reach their goals. And if I do that, it's better for everybody. So I give everyone the benefit of the doubt. And really, there's an old saying, I see better than I hear. So as long as they're doing what I see, we're good to go.
How much, was there a lot of thinking behind having him change his stance, or you knew right away something's got to change with this?
No, we just looked. The reason we did that, everyone's made a big deal about that, but really it was just a subtle change. So he had a little bit of an elongated stance, and every time he started to backpedal, he brought his foot back to where he would have started from anyway. So we just asked him to try it just to kind of speed things up. and he's very comfortable with it. He's done it, and he actually did it in one day, which is amazing. Usually when you ask a guy to change a technique, it takes a week or two. He did it immediately, which shows you the athletic ability the kid has.
Subtle change, but you think it can help a lot? Guy does it right?
If you can be a half a second quicker, yes.
What have you seen out of a guy like Raheem Moore?
Raheem's done well as well. You know, he's coming in here. He's competing. He's a guy that takes unbelievable notes. Football is extremely important to him. He wants another chance to win, and we're going to give it to him.
We talked to Tremont yesterday. When a guy gets to be the age he is playing that position, I think people wonder, does he still have it? What did you see on film from him last year? Are you comfortable if he's your number two guy opposite Joe?
I'm very comfortable with him, and he's going to be a big factor in how we progress, both as a player on the field and a leader off the field. Again, NFL is a small community, and when he was a free agent here, we studied him as well. So we know a lot about him. He's played in a similar system when he was in Green Bay. He's very comfortable with the things we're doing. We've actually, as you've seen out here in practice, we've moved him inside some at nickel. So he's going to be an integral part of what we do moving forward.
What are your impressions of Kaywan Williams?
He's done well. He's also done well for us. Been no issues there. I mean, try hard. He's played both on the outside, both on the inside. He's been good. He's been flashing in practice. Yesterday, two plays in a row. We had two PBUs, consecutive plays. We like him.
The previous staff played the 3-4. You guys are playing a 3-4. Like, how different is what you're asking these guys to do, both corner and safety, than what they were asked to do the last couple of years?
You know, I haven't studied them schematically, so I don't know what the similarities are. I do know that man coverage is man coverage, so I don't know how their zones or how their pressures are different. I'm sure there's some differences, but as far as what we're doing, the guys have been all on board, and they're trying to execute it to the best of their ability.
Coach, what did you guys see in the corner you drafted, Caldwell?
We liked his quickness and his production in college. And, again, he's a young player coming from probably a smaller program, and he's going to come in the NFL, and we're just going to develop him. And he has the ability to play both inside and outside. He's done a good job this far as well.
When you look at a guy like that doesn't have maybe ideal size.
Anything else for Johnny?
Like, what does he have to show you to say, okay, this guy's worth taking, using a draft pick?
The corners come in all shapes and sizes. I've coached guys that have been really small or really tall. It just, everyone has strengths and weaknesses. So a guy that's a little bit smaller, if he excels in quickness, ball skills, route recognition, those guys tend to excel. With that being said, those guys can also move from the outside to the inside and play multiple spots for you. So that's something that we're looking from Trey.
And the other guys, the other new guy, Jamar Taylor, do you see more? Is it a slot guy or an outside guy?
Oh, he can play both. He can play both. He's done that in practice.
Is he another guy like, you know, Justin, a clean slate? Because obviously it didn't work for him in Miami, a high pick. Did he come here? He's kind of starting fresh.
Absolutely. Again, like I said, one of my first statements here was, you can never have enough corners, guys. Okay? You don't realize how much you miss them until you don't have them. So, especially with the ways the game's going with all these multiple receiver sets. So the more guys we have in here competing, the better off we're going to be in the long run.
That's Browns defensive back coach Louis Chofi. And Jamar Taylor's a guy that has stood out to me being physical, even though he doesn't have the pads on, seems to have a good idea of when to break on the ball, has a quick break to the football, and seems to have pretty good instincts out there. Obviously, was highly regarded coming out of Boise State. Didn't work out for him in Miami, but now he's a guy that has an opportunity to compete here with the Browns.
Yeah, and you just said, I mean, the last word reigns supreme to me when it comes to the defensive backfield, because there are there really any sure things other than Joe Hayden in the defensive backfield? Maybe it sounds like Tremon Williams.
Yep.
But other than that, it's a dog-eat-dog world. Go get it. There's going to be maybe, what, five corners we keep?
Or six,
maybe. And then four
Hayden,
safeties?
Hayden. Right, unless you could consider, you know, with all the cross-training they're doing with a guy like Pierre.
Correct.
The Pierre could count as a double. But you've got Hayden, Tremon, Gilbert, Kaywan Williams, who continues to run with the
Jamar
first
Taylor.
Team. Jamar Taylor, Charles Gaines, who they liked from last
Caldwell,
year.
Caldwell, the draft pick.
Caldwell, the draft pick, that's seven. So, Desir, eight. That's eight guys right there. So two of those guys aren't going to be here.
Correct.
And then you look at the safeties, and you've got Poyer, Campbell, Kindred,
Moore.
And then Raheem Moore, who is more on a tryout basis, I would imagine. You're not sunk into him anything, but it's going to be interesting, I think. And that's why I said that I thought it would be good to hear from Louis Chofi, because that position and those position groups, I think, are going to be as full of competition as any
on defense.
On defense.
For sure. I mean, the starters on the defensive line are probably almost set.
Yep.
I'd say our two inside linebackers, week one, probably very close to set in Kirksey and Davis. Outside linebacker, there's going to be a combination, I think, of three guys playing a lot of football as the season gets started. That's Ogba, that's Orchard, that's Kruger.
Yeah, maybe some Mingo as well.
But he's going to become a specialty player.
Yeah, but you're looking at, I think the point you're making is you have a pretty good idea who your four outside backers are.
Correct.
Your inside backers, you've got DeMario Kirksey.
You know who two are. You know who three are.
And right now you got Scooby Wright, who's looked very, very good.
You got Tank Carter, who just re-signed to a new two-year deal, who's played well under Tabor on special teams. Saw a little bit, on defense. But that defense that they played in last year didn't allow anybody to showcase their ability.
Right. Justin Tuggle's had a pretty good offseason.
Correct.
So far.
The Dominique Alexander kid, people like him.
They like him. And I know you like him as well.
I did.
And so that's kind of what's in the mix there. Does Armani Bryant count as a D lineman, an outside linebacker? Does he fit in?
Is he outside looking in because of a suspension? Do we even have time for a guy like that?
Well, the good news for him is that he can be kept. You don't have to cut him. You can keep him, and he doesn't take up
a spot
on your
53. But he does when he comes back.
He does when he comes back.
So, I mean, someone's
got to
go.
Yeah.
And if guys are playing well and you're gelling four games into the season, maybe you've got some early success going, especially on the defensive side of the ball where you are probably your deepest along the defensive line and in your linebacker rooms, do you change that dynamic and feel the need to fit Armonte Bryant into something? Well, we got him back now. You got to cut someone to make that room. And then you're getting rid of someone that you was probably doing right. So the guy who did a major wrong, suspended for four games, comes back and has that shot.
Yeah.
Big decision.
Big decision. And then when you talked about the D-line, Dez, Shelton, John Hughes, Xavier Cooper,
Meter,
Carl Nassib. Those
maybe.
Five are probably going to make the team.
Yep. Lawrence Staples, Meter,
Jeffcoat. That's a battle. Yeah, that's a battle. I think the Niall Lawrence Staples and Meter is back to see who is the plug in the middle behind Danny Shelton. I think that's going to be an interesting battle. The defensive side, I think there's more intrigue than ever in the defensive backfield. And really, I think even at the linebacker position, who is going to make this team? Some tough cuts, which are going to be good for the development of the Browns. All right, we'll give our final thoughts on this Monday when we come back here on CBD.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR. Kissing you would hit the spot with me. Come on, skip a couple rocks with me.
Give me any of your heart tonight. Ain't no reason that we need to be apart tonight. Dog Pound, gear up for the Cleveland Browns 2016 season with new apparel from the Pro Shop at First Energy Stadium. Shop a wide variety of all new gear, including hats, t-shirts, jackets, custom jerseys, and more. Season ticket members, remember to swipe your membership card to receive your exclusive discount and a chance to win great prizes. The Pro Shop is open from 11 to 5 every day or call 440-824-3427 for more information. Zagur and Wilhelm wrapping it up here today. Matt, it's come across the news wire that Nate Robinson, the former point guard of the New York Knicks, amongst other teams in the NBA, trying out with the Seattle Seahawks. What did you think about that?
I think he may be trying to prove something, or did he, like, you know, people doubt him?
I don't know. The same way
that people doubt the fact that you can get a first down. I put both of those in the same kind of category. I also believe of all the NFL teams, and of course it's probably because, you know, he played basketball at the University of Washington. You know, it's right there in the greater Seattle area. So, you know, meandering out to Seahawk practice as a fan, having a quick conversation with Pete Carroll, maybe created some dialogue throughout the offseason, and boom, here he is trying out. Going to be a very difficult roster to crack of all the places, you know, throughout the NFL.
Yeah.
And then, secondly, what are you going to do? You know, people want to knock a guy like Corey Coleman for his size and look at the production that he had in how many games at Baylor as, you know, as a junior, you know, 20 touchdowns in 9 football games. And people, and of course, we always say he plays bigger than he actually is. Well, Nate Robinson has proved nothing. Okay. Other than he can win a dunk contest. That's great. So you can jump, but can you jump and catch a basketball jump? Or, I'm sorry, catch a football and then have someone blast you while you're in midair? Has that ever happened while you're dunking a basketball? No. Welcome to the NFL. I think it's going to be a very quick in and out.
He's not a big dude. I mean, this is, I find it to be a very interesting turn of events, as it were, and a very interesting twist there. I think it's good hype. It's a good story, a fun story for a second, but I don't expect much, if anything, to come of it. All right, that is going to do it for us today here on CBD. Tomorrow we'll continue to break down the rookies. We've got Danny Shelton, Nate Orchard for you the rest of the week, plus some of the other position coaches, Hal Hunter on the offensive line, amongst others. So we'll have that for you as we keep things covered and keep you covered on the Browns all week long. And, of course, we'll have our reaction to Game 5 of the Cavs and the Warriors. That'll do it for us. Stay tuned for the Golden Boys. For Matt Wilhelm, I am Nathan Zagura. I want to give thanks to Matt Fontana, who was on the board with us today. And thank each and every one of you for listening to Cleveland Browns Daily
on ESPN 850 WKNR. And go Cavs!
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and ESPN 850 WKNR.